Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Our focus for the last several broadcasts is upon the verse in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. It says, "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth." What a wonderful text. It is a text that insists that the ministry, the person and work of Jesus Christ, is supported, it is attested to, maybe I should use as a better word, is attested to by many evidences, many infallible proofs. There's no reason for anyone to be embarrassed at all about their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and their belief in what the Bible tells us about his person and work, because it is more than amply demonstrated to be true. And this text is dealing with that very fact. And this text lays down three areas of evidence. One is water, one is blood, and one is the Spirit. The threefold witness to the authenticity of the Bible's report, the Bible's account of the person and work of Christ. And so we'll take that up where we left it off yesterday on this Friday, January 4. Thank you for joining us, and many, many thanks to those whose financial gifts keep us teaching on this station. Water, blood, and Spirit. Well, as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, the baptism of Jesus Christ, which is referred to here by the word water, was witnessed by a multitude of people, many hundreds at the least, and possibly even into the thousands of people, the crowds that gathered to the ministry of John the Baptist. That is a remarkable thing. This one who came out of the wilderness, this one who lived an austere life, this one who did not fit into the normal contours of Jewish society at all, this one who was, we would say, something like a backwoodsman, like a rough mountaineer, like a roughneck. I can imagine today he would have been dressed in bib overalls and a flannel shirt. In his day, of course, he was dressed in a camel's hair garment with a leather belt around it, which was identifying him actually with the ministry of Elijah, the prophet Elijah in the Old Testament, who dressed in a similar fashion. But it was also a very rustic outfit which he wore. It would have identified him as one who lived out in the country and had not adapted city ways. He was definitely a country man. And people like that don't generally attract a large following. I can think of some examples of that, I suppose, in modern days, but it's not very normal, is it? But here you've got John the Baptist, this rough character out of the wilderness, who comes upon the scene of Israel some months before the arrival of Jesus Christ, and starts this public ministry of preaching the message of repentance. That's certainly not in the popular message. You don't get very far in our world today focusing on a message like that, making that the center of your ministry. There are a lot of ministers today who hardly ever mention the word repentance, let alone emphasize the importance of repentance. There are many today who won't even talk about sin, because, of course, you can't talk about repentance without talking about sin, because that's what repentance is all about. It's about acknowledging your sins, owning them, confessing them, turning from them, repenting of them. This is what John did. He came preaching a message of repentance. And in the purposes of God, he drew large crowds and made a great impact. And many people heard him, took him seriously, repented of their sins, and submitted to the baptism of repentance, water baptism, as a public testimony of their acknowledgement that they were sinners who needed to repent of their sins, and did so publicly in this way. And John had a huge ministry. He was, of course, the one preparing the way for Christ, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." That was his assignment. He carried it out. God blessed it with unusual success. Now, a couple of thoughts come to my mind even as I relate this to you. Number one, what was the mark of John's success? And some would say, well, you already told us. There were huge multitudes, hundreds, thousands of people that flocked to his ministry. That's the mark. That's the evidence of his success. No. That happened because God worked through his ministry and brought that about on that particular occasion. But the mark of his success was his obedience to his assignment. He was given an assignment which was unpopular. He was willing to do it. He had no idea whether it would be marked by numerical success or not, but that didn't matter to him. He came preaching an unpopular message of repentance, and God the Holy Spirit used it to strike conviction of sin in the hearts of many people, and he ended up having a large following. But he was no more successful in the eyes of God than, say, Noah, who preached a similar message of repentance for 120 years and had nobody to show for it except his own family. Was John the Baptist more successful than Noah? Well, that depends on what you mean by success. But they were both equally faithful. And in God's estimation, faithfulness is the mark of success. That's the first thing that comes to mind as I think about the ministry of John the Baptist. But here's the second one. Have we lost confidence in the ability of God to do the same thing today? Is that why, instead of preaching the truth, all the truth, nothing but the truth, unpopular truth as well as popular truth, if there is such a thing as popular truth when it comes to the message of the Bible and particularly the message of the gospel. Is there such a thing as popular truth if you're talking about what people in the world at large find welcoming to their ears? People who are unregenerate, who find the truth of God foolishness. Is there anything that will be both true and popular to them? Now, there are hosts of people today, hosts of preachers today, who are convinced that there are such things, and they have built their whole ministries on it, and they are applauding themselves, congratulating themselves on the fact that their design, their philosophy of ministry has produced large results. Large churches are built upon ministries like this. And there are many who are congratulating themselves. I got it right. I figured out what it is that will attract people. They've come to my ministry. But if it's not faithfulness to the Word of God, to the truth of God, the whole truth, all the truth, nothing but the truth, then is it really effective? Numbers are not the evidence of success. Faithfulness to the message when it's unpopular is evidence. And have we lost confidence in God's ability to do the same thing today? Now, he may choose not to. That's his business. How many of the Old Testament prophets were specifically called to a ministry of rejection? You preach this message and you will be rejected. They were told that up front, and yet we're told, go preach it anyway. Your preaching is going to be a message of condemnation. You are going to preach the truth. The people who hear it are going to reject it, and they're going to thereafter be justly condemned by God because of their rejection, and you will have done your job. Not too many people are signing up for a ministry like that. I'd like to have a part in that ministry. I'd like to be that preacher. I'd like to be the one that's going to preach and nobody's going to believe him. Everybody's going to reject him. Everybody's going to hate him. Everybody's going to despise him. Nobody's going to follow him. Nobody's going to applaud him. I'll sign up for that assignment. I'll sign up for that job. No, not many are willing to do that. And yet those are the ones that God counts faithful, and it's up to him. Sometimes he accompanies ministries like that with no visible success, but he still says, welcome home, my servant. Welcome, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Those who do that have great reward and eternal blessing. And yet there are other times when God, sovereignly, it's up to him, chooses to bless that kind of ministry with unusual success. And in the case of John the Baptist, that's exactly what happened. And yet, he too became discouraged in spite of all that success, visible success, numerical success, popularity that the world would call success. He became pretty discouraged, and there was a time when he even sent his disciples. He was in prison at this time. That was pretty discouraging, of course, and he lost his head in prison. But he sent disciples to Jesus and said, please go talk to Jesus and ask him, are you the one that was to come, or do we look for another? Now, wait a minute, John. You know good and well he's the one. You baptized him. You heard the voice from heaven. You saw the Spirit of God descend upon him like a dove. You know good and well he's the one. What do you mean? Is he the one, or do we look for another? Well, that's discouragement speaking. Perhaps John thought that because he had been faithful and had achieved an unusual measure of earthly success, that he should have been immune from being thrown into prison and having that kind of indignity and discomfort put upon him, and eventually the loss of his life. But if he thought that, he was wrong. But my main point is still, don't we think God is able to do that again today if he chooses to? Of course. So why do we think it's more pleasing to God for us to construct our own methodologies, which are not based upon the Bible, in order to achieve something that is not what God has called us to do? God's able to take an unpopular message and to achieve great results. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.